Start this day together, fresh and new as we begin. We are mindful of our Savior, who has cleansed us of our sin. He has freed us from the bondage of its deathly grip and chains. We have entered into Jesus, joined the ranks of victors, saints. From this glory unto glory, we can walk above this world. We no longer have to worry when the devil's darts are hurled. Victory surrounds us daily and protects us in the night. From this glory unto glory, Jesus fills me with his life. As the daylight hours are over and those evening shadows fall, we can lift our eyes and wonder at the marvel of it all. Swirling planets, stars, and galaxies, they illuminate the night. It's a glorious reminder of our Lord's eternal light. From this glory unto glory, we can walk above this world. We no longer have to worry when the devil's darts are hurled. Victory surrounds us daily with eternal life.
Scottish Gael. Hush, the tales were telling, many a soul would roam, searching for a future, searching for a
A certain man, upon a field, now distant and away, began a great experiment, continuing today, possessing land and wherewithal to cultivate and sow, conditions being optimal to make his garden grow. Within the rich and waiting earthen plot of goodly soil, he planted seeds of chosen grain, with diligence and toil, the labor done in love and expectation of the yield. The man with preparations more departed from the field. As darkness comes to everything, to fill each crack and groove, and call to what is drawn to lay beneath its cloven hoof, so too upon the goodly plot malevolence arose, to sow its own inheritance among the fertile rows. The adversary of the man with snares and tares and weeds deposited his cunning crop beside the open seeds to strangle and adulterate the germinating wheat, to choke and overrun the better growth and so defeat. The servants of the man, upon discovering, revealed the folly that had fallen as a blemish on the field. And yet the man in wisdom and experience held suit. If they should pull the tares, the wheat entwined might be uproot. Instead, we'll let them live together, lifting to the sun, until the season over and the harvesting begun. Until the tares have flourished and surpassing every need, they lift themselves up higher than the ones on whom they feed. Until their vain imaginings and self-adoring bloat have dominated quite enough, and then that's all she wrote. No longer will the patient man ignore the shaking fist. The brazen look will bow upon the scythe and dewy mist, collected into bundles. Then their moment in the sun has ended quite abruptly, with another flame begun. And what of all the simple grain, or shadowed and suppressed, unto the master's granary, a safe preserving rests. The moral is a happy one, as tales and stories go, for those remaining in the end, and wise enough to know. The strength required to carry on, despite the choking weeds, is grown upon integrity and rooted in your deeds.
As it Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 16th day of October, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is, It is a Spiritual War. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, or Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Prinhanda, Cumri Ambith. The website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. Again, pastordan.net. The Daily Mail page is where we put up-to-date information, news items, prepper items, weapons and ammunition type information, and also research sites for the identity message. And here of late, the German National Socialist information from World War II. And also, I have been informed that the American National Socialist platform is slightly different, so there is a difference between the two. And so you can find that out if you go do a Google search for the National Socialist Movement here in the United States, and you can read about that. Our homepage has information on how you can help us out financially, if you feel so inclined. Again, that's between you and our Father. If you do not have my contact information, you can go to another page at the website called Contact Us, and that's where you can type in a note. And by the way, the troll that likes to leave me something from time to time, it is comical, the things that he writes. He's a troll that has annoyed many people on many platforms, but it is comical, some of the garbage he puts in there. Obviously, it is instantly deleted and forgotten. Remember that the will of our Father will never take you where the grace of our Heavenly Father will not protect you. Hallelujah. Richard Buckminster Fuller, I think, here makes the statement in this quote that we need to pay very strict attention to in the future. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. There's a message there for our people. You are living examples of our Heavenly Father and His law. If you want to have people understand what's wrong and you want them to come to the knowledge of the truth, then you have to be the shining light on the hill. You have to be the example, the banner, so to speak, that people will come to. Those that care about the truth, those who want to see a better world, they will instantly be drawn to you. They will know that you have information that they need to hear. That's how you defeat this enemy. Taking them face on at this time, anyway, would not be the wisest approach. Now, one of the things we're going to talk about is the fact that that could change in the very near future. However, at the moment, we're still in the ideological part of this fourth or fifth generation warfare that we find ourselves in. So you want to keep that in mind. Ralph Waldo Emerson has a quote that sort of goes in line with what Richard Buckminster Fuller says. If a man can write a better book or preach a better sermon or make a better mousetrap than his neighbors, though he builds his house in the wilderness or the woods, the world will make a beaten path to his door. Make a beaten path. I grew up in the country. When people go walking through the woods, if they do it frequently, the grass is bent over. and you can see the path that others have taken, whether it's through a hay field or through the woods. So when it says a beaten path, if you see a beaten path, that means there's more than you taking that road. Often it's quite a few people, especially if there's a lot of grass. Maybe it's even down to bare earth as you go through the fields and the woods. You city dwellers wouldn't have a clue what that is. You live in concrete jungles, which our arch enemy, the Jew, finds attractive, because it reminds them of the mountains of Seir, where Edom Esau was abandoned and banished to eons ago. Very little greenery. Mount Seir is basically caves and cliffs. And if you look at the cities today, how are they built? Concrete jungles with almost no greenery, barren of any kind of artistic value, very plain, very pretty much just ugly. Just like modern day art. They call it art, but it can only be considered art to somebody who has no nobility about them at all, no Aryan qualities, because it's ugly. There's no shape, no form, no substance. You look at the Greeks and the Romans, and even back further, the statues look like they could come alive. The paintings look like they were photographs of real individuals. Whereas modern art, which is heavily influenced by our enemy of all mankind, known as the Jew, is quite the opposite. It's disgusting. So again, we're at that point in time when our Heavenly Father told us to come out of this Babylonian nonsense and to not partake of her sins and also the judgments that will soon come upon her. Just as the song that was playing just before we started the program by Jonathan David Brown, a very good friend of mine who's no longer with us, unfortunately, but Jonathan David Brown's song about the insane Babylonians from his CD, the Nazirite, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He was quite a man, quite a man. Both him and Carl Klang I counted as personal friends, and really, really wish they were still with us. I was very fortunate to have interviewed them numerous times and still have copies that I listen to from time to time, so I can still hear their voice and talk about their beautiful songs. Both of them identity believers, strong identity believers. In fact, that's how I met them, at different gatherings where their music was being sold or played. And so the Father has blessed me with a very large number of people that I've interfaced with over the years. And I continue to have angelos in the Greek, or angels that minister unto me and give me a lot of insight. In fact, it was an email I got today that led me to go to the book of Jude, which we will go to here in a few minutes, and read about the condition of our people. One of the things I think is becoming very apparent as we reach the critical point in the history of the world and the history of the United States, we constantly hear the pundits and other people talk about Constitution. I dare say that the Constitution was written by people who had nefarious ideas for this country. As Michael Gaddy, the rebel madman, says many times, the Articles of Confederation were much more closely aligned to the beliefs of the original settlers in this land, the strong Bible-believing pilgrims. The Constitution was the result of others who had loyalties outside of our people and our belief system. It was their attempt to bring us under strong federalist control. That's why we had the anti-federalists as well as the federalists of the day. Of course, the federalists had the banking establishment on their side, and so they were well-funded. So the Constitution ended up getting ratified. However, the Articles of Confederation were much more appropriate and much more limiting. But we've gotten to the point where even the Articles of Confederation will not suffice, because we need to get back completely to a theocracy of our Heavenly Father's law, just as King Alfred in Old England did. And England was blessed. That's why he was called Alfred the Great, because he codified the Old Testament law into English law. In other words, the civil law was exactly the same as the biblical law. And we need to follow that example. We need to get back to the exact same thing. We need to scrap all of this nonsense of man-made law, whether it's Constitution at the state level, federal level, whether it's the Articles of Confederation. Any of these laws written by groups of people need to be abandoned, because we don't need new law. Scripture is very plain that our Father is our lawgiver. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22 makes that crystal clear. And since he gave us the law, we don't need new law. We don't need new definitions of what murder is. We don't need new definitions of what adultery or race mixing is. We know what it is. We know it is against his law. In fact, it's considered an abomination to our Father. Anytime you mongrelize something or create a hybrid, you have violated the laws of nature and the laws of our God. It's pretty simple. In the Greek Septuagint, again, it says, "Ouk mukesus." Do not mongrelize. It doesn't matter what you're talking about, whether it's fabrics, whether it's vegetation, whether it's your animals, your pets, or most certainly your children. You don't mongrelize, trying to create something that otherwise would not exist. It is part of Babylon or Babel, confusion caused by admixture. You look at some of these zombies walking around and you wonder why they can't think straight, because they're an abomination, most of them. They are of mixed blood. Charles Weissman's book, Anthology of Racial Issues, makes it crystal clear, because he footnotes all the scientific studies that he researched that make it crystal clear that academia, honest academia, knows that race mixing, the mixing of blood and DNA, is always bad, always brings about terrible results. And it's called in the scripture a plague. Anytime you violate the Father's law, you bring plagues, lawlessness, violence, debauchery. Take a look around you. Do you see that today? We're living in it, a cesspool. It's a cesspool. Why people can't see it, I have no idea. So again, we need to get back to a autocracy, if you will, where we do not need a multitude of leaders. Even Scripture talks about that. In a multitude of leaders, there is wickedness. So this whole idea that parliaments are good is wrong. The whole idea that Congresses are wrong. We don't need an executive, legislative, and judicial branch. Everything comes under God's law, period. That's why our ancient ancestors operated with local government being the strongest, and adjudication was done by elders called judges, because they did adjudicate completely by the biblical law. They did not go into any kind of man-made situation. The idea that men can come up with new ways of looking at things and somehow that'll be good. No, it's not. It's never good. Never, ever, ever. There's a, for the folks on Telegram, I know there's a lot of different platforms out there, but I personally think Telegram is one of the best as far as ease of use and the tools and all that are free to you to use to stay in touch. There's a group called the Florida Gators. I would highly recommend people check them out. Again, that's called Florida Gators, which is short for alligators, of course. Florida Gators. A lot of good information, a lot of good people there. A lot of our people are there. All right. When I say our people, I'm talking about white men and women who know this message called identity, because it's the truth. And here's the fact, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you understand this. There's a lot of people right now, more than ever, looking for truth, looking for answers. Why is things so upside down? Why is there so much criminality, dishonesty, hypocrisy, corruption? Well, it's because you've got an enemy has crept in unawares. And taken our biblical law and turned it upside down and replaced it with Judaism or Judaic law, which is from the Talmud, not the Bible. The Talmud. The whole idea that man can overrule God is Talmudic. Just ask the rabbis. The Talmud was created by raving lunatics called rabbis hundreds of years ago. And they say that a rabbi has more authority than God Almighty. That's in their religion. How anybody who claims to believe in the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, and say that Jews are somehow God's chosen people, you're an idiot. How can that be so? When everything about Judaism is anti-Christ, anti-Yahweh, anti-logic, anti-nature. Everything about them is upside down. Of course, the propaganda would have you believe otherwise, but that's just not true. That's not true at all. We're going to go to the book of Jude here in a minute, but before that, I wanted to play something that was sent to me. And I think it's excellent. So we're going to play this. And this is a message to the warriors out there. It's called the 33 Rules and Greatest Warrior Quotes to Be Invincible, which our people are. When we adhere to God's law, we are invincible. But I hope you like this. Hold on a minute.
Rule your mind, or it will rule you. Don't be afraid to fail. Be afraid not to try. The point is that once you know what you want, you must be prepared to sacrifice everything to get it. Move in silence. Only speak when it's time to say checkmate. A fool is happy when his cravings are satisfied. A warrior is happy without reason. The fool lives to consume all they can take from the world. The wise live to create a better world. Control your anger. If you have anger towards others, they control you. Life can sometimes get the best of you, but your state of mind determines your outcome. And though the warrior's sun has set, its light shall linger around us yet. Bright, radiant, blessed. Never confuse a single defeat with the final defeat. The approach to combat and everyday life should be the same. warrior spirit never dies. Warriors are not the ones who always win, but the ones who always fight. Victorious warriors win first and then go to war, while defeated warriors go to war first and then seek to win. If your enemy is quick to anger, seek to irritate him. Every battle is won before it is fought. All that is behind you was in preparation for all that is yet before you. Embrace the struggle and let it make you stronger. The people who consider you weak have not yet noticed the wolf hiding behind your eyes, nor the flame inside your soul. Let them think you are weak. Surprise them when they least expect it. No one has a right to be an amateur in the matter of physical training. It is a shame for a man to grow old without seeing the beauty and strength of which his body is capable. Don't be afraid of being outnumbered. A lion walks alone, while the sheep flock together. We fall, we break, we fail. But then, we rise, we heal, we overcome. Nobody is born a warrior. You choose to be one when you refuse to stay seated. You choose to be one when you refuse to back down. You choose to be one when you stand up after getting knocked down. You choose to be one, because if not you, who? To win any battle, you must fight as if you are already dead. There's nothing more powerful than a humble person with a warrior spirit who is driven by a bigger purpose. A warrior is the guardian of the ways of honor and courage. But if you choose the way of the warrior, living a life of service, it will demand of you the best you have. You may not need to be great, but the world needs your greatness. Every warrior must learn the simple truth that pain is inevitable and suffering is optional. Time is the greatest of all warriors. What it doesn't destroy, it alters beyond recognition. A warrior is worthless unless he rises above others and stands strong in the midst of a storm. A warrior has to believe. Otherwise, he cannot activate his intent positively. It's not over when you lose. It's over when you quit.
Okay, there you go. Very good. I thought that pretty much sums it up. Let me go ahead and get that off of here. The ways of the warrior. You know, that's something our people seem to have forgotten over the years, or especially our men. You know, you don't find very many real men anymore. I'm talking about men that know how to be righteous heads of their household. Most men are pushed around. They're kind of wussies, kind of soy boys and girls. The way of the warrior seems to have been lost on many of our people. It's been bred out of them. It's been taught out of them through the education system, the media, the movies, everything run by these enemies of all mankind called Jews. But that, you have to understand something. It's not all Jews, all right? There's a lot of traitors amongst the white race. There's a lot of traitors amongst all races. Traitors to truth. Traitors to the laws of God. Traitors to the laws of nature. So there's treason everywhere. You can't focus it down to just one group. That's why it has to get back to the laws of the Almighty. Because His laws do not discriminate whatsoever. Somebody show me where it discriminates. It does not discriminate. If you commit murder, it doesn't matter who you are. You're going to be executed. If you commit rape, you will be executed. If you kidnap, you will be executed. If you commit treason, you'll be executed. If you blaspheme the living God, you will be executed. Period. There is no compromise. There is no place for a prison system in Yahweh's kingdom. It's ludicrous to think you can trap people in cages and rehabilitate them. You're completely retarded if you think that. Retarded. You might as well go join the local synagogue and listen to the ravings of a rabbi if you're that stupid. All right? Synagogues are full of people that don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. They listen to a rabbi, don't they? So they can't be very smart. They follow the teaching of the Talmud. They can't be very smart. People always, you know, I've heard it for years. Jews are very smart and very good with money. Well, you could be really good with money if you had no scruples and no rules and no ethics. Where thievery is okay, stealing other people's intellectual property is okay. Making sure fellow Jews get the better interest rates or no interest loans while the goyim all have to pay double. Well, hell, you'd be good at money too. If I was allowed to go out and commit assassinations and kill all my competitors, I would be the best out there there is too. Or like the president of RCA Records, a Jew, obviously, when he stole the invention of that teenage boy that was out in the Midwest on a corn farm. He actually invented the device that made a movie camera work, and the Jews stole it. The family never got a penny for that invention. Okay, so if you have those kind of scruples, yeah, you're gonna sit atop the financial world. That doesn't mean that you're smart. It just means that you're cunning. And Christ told us that they are cunning people. In the Greek language, when Yahshua denounced the Jews, the word was that the definitions were that they were a cunning people, not smart, not high IQ, cunning, ruthless. They have no limitations on what they'll do to gain power and money. Well, if you want to live like a Jew, well, then you probably could be rich too. And as far as their IQ, no, they're not high. They're not highly IQ. No, they're not. Because if they were, they wouldn't need to steal everybody else's inventions. They'd invent them themselves. As we talked on the platform here a while back, Einstein was not a smart man. He was a clerk in a patent office. Where do you think the Jews got a lot of their ideas that made them rich? Let's see, a Jew in a patent office. You don't think Albert Einstein stole any of that stuff? You don't think he took some of the ideas in the patent office over to the synagogue and shared it with his Jewish buddies? And in return, the Jews turned the media around and convinced all of the Shabbos Goy whites out there that Einstein was a very brilliant man, and all he was a thief, a stinking Jewish thief. And yet the world idolizes him as a brilliant man. It's much like the COVID thing. You know, all they have to do is change the name. The common flu got called coronavirus, and all of a sudden everybody ran around in fear. putting diapers on their face, putting injections of poisons into their body because the Jews sat over there making billions and billions of dollars because of our ignorance and our fear. It's time to abandon all of the man-made systems and get back to the biblical model, because it solves all the problems. It answers all the questions. It gives us the guidance we need. It gives us the law, the simple laws. You know, I keep hearing people talking about, you know, this U.S. code and the FCC rulings and all that. That's all man-made garbage. It's all Luciferian. It's all Talmudic to get you to think that men can create new legislation and somehow it has authority over you. If you do that, you are Antichrist. Do you know that? When man-made rules guide you, you're no different than the Antichrists, because you've put man's law above God's law. Peter said it best when he said, if there's a choice between God's law and man's law, you must choose God's law. Obviously, the white race suffers today because we got a bunch of retards amongst our people walking around spouting that it's necessary to obey the authorities. Where did you hear that nonsense? Oh, my preacher told me that. Oh, you're talking about that prostitute down at that local whitewashed sepulcher full of dead men's bones. Yeah, the whore, the prostitute, the one that gets up there and waves a King James version of the Bible, which is atrocious, claiming it to be the Word of God. Does that sound like Jimmy Swaggart, another profligate liar? Another profiteer off the ignorance of our people, or a Kenneth Copeland, or a John Hagee. The list goes on ad infinitum of the whores and prostitutes pounding the pulpit with the doctrines of devils. Our people suffer for a lack of knowledge or truth. They also suffer for a lack of vision. You haven't got the vision of what it's like to be free and to live in liberty. You have lost the vision. Get the vision back. Learn to be warriors. And again, a warrior, a true warrior, often is the softest spoken individual in the room. He's often the individual that's pretty much by himself, just kind of watching and just being there and paying attention. A true warrior doesn't need to make other people believe him to be a warrior. The way he carries himself speaks of his warrior nature. The way he speaks when he does speak, and he speaks with few words and much wisdom. The pontificating asshole out there is not a warrior. I'm sorry, he's not. If he has to pontificate and constantly tell everybody how great he is, what a great warrior he is, and he's got all the answers, pretty much the odds are he doesn't. The guy you need to watch out for in that room at the party you're at or the assembly is the quiet one. The quiet one with the steely eyes that is scanning the horizon, as Gideon's men did down at the creek when they went for that drink of water. Their eyes are always on the horizon. They're always scanning the room for potential danger and trouble. The warrior is always vigilant to protect not only himself, but those that he loves and cares for. That's the warrior. He only pulls his weapon when it's absolutely necessary. If he can defuse a situation without the need of weapons, he does it. Violence is the last resort for the warrior. Just talk to combat veterans sometimes and ask them what they think of war. I have never met a combat veteran yet that loved war. Most people that glorify war have never been in war. It's ugly. Ugly. There is nothing beautiful about warfare. Nothing. Even when it's necessary, it is still ugly. The warrior abhors warfare and violence. However, we are the people who want to be left alone. And as the meme that goes around says, white people are loving, caring, and sharing people until they are not. Until we get pushed to the point where violence becomes necessary for survival. They're pushing us to that point. It should be obvious to anybody with a brain that even remotely functions at normal levels. But I will say this, if we get pushed to that point, and if our warriors decide to hit the streets, it must be in a righteous manner. The leaders must be like a King David amongst our people. And no, that doesn't mean perfect. There are no perfect men walking in shoe leather that I know of. Trust me, I know some of the best men of our race. I've been privileged to know them over the years. For instance, Jonathan David Brown, I consider the singer-songwriter, one of the best men I ever met. Carl Klang, certainly one of the giants amongst identity as far as his songs and singing. And Carl, I know, had his limitations. Carl had some serious personal issues going on. But we didn't advertise him because why? His heart was in the right place. His desire for our people to rise above all this and to unite was in the right place. So why focus on his foibles and his low spots? Because you're not going to find a perfect man in shoe leather anywhere, at any time. Only one man wore sandals perfectly that I know of, and we allowed him to be, or at least we believe he was crucified. The point of it is that he walked this earth and very few came to embrace the truths that he taught. It's shameful how few people want to know the truth. You would think it would be paramount to every single person on earth, but it's not. It's not. I've learned that in holistic medicine. The people that are truly interested in healing their body by natural means is a handful. A very small percentage. Everybody wants to run to the doctors, most of them Jewish or under Jewish influence, and put Jewish pharmaceuticals in their body. All of them are poisons. Well, Dan, how can you say that? Drugs save lives. You ever read the list of side effects? Tell me what thing in nature has a list of side effects like that. Okay, now do some people survive the poisons of the pharmaceutical industry? Sure they do. That's a testament to the constitution of the individual. Some people have a very strong constitution. A good way of doing that is look at the iris of their eye. For you folks that know anything about iridology, look at the fibers in the iris of the eye. Are they tight or are they full of lacuna or holes, the dark spots, and they're very loose fibers? That is a immediate indication on the constitution of the individual. Immediate. So we have people with very strong constitutions. My son is one of them. He's been through hellacious periods in his life that would have killed the average person. His strong constitution is what's brought him through. Okay, we want to go to the book of Jude. Oh, and something else I want to look at doing here in the near future. Keep the Sunday message on this format where there's music and basically me going over a message. But take the Wednesday, 8 o'clock Eastern Time Wednesday meeting and go back to free conference call. where we can have call-ins, we can have people contribute to the meetings. That's something I'm considering. If there's any positive or negative feedback on that, I would certainly appreciate hearing from you. But in the book of Jude, it's a fairly short book here, one chapter, just like Obadiah. Jude, or Jude, a servant of Yahshua HaMashiach and the brother of James, but his real name was Jacob. That should have been interpreted as Jacob. To those who are called beloved in God the Father and kept for his Messiah, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation through Yahshua, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Now, who were the saints? The called out ones. That's who. For certain people, pay attention here. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation. What did Yahshua say? There are those here who are condemned already. Ungodly people. And again, this is not a particular race here, because the ungodly can be found in every race. Who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality, and deny our only Master and Lord Yahshua. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Yahshua, who saved a people, out of the land of Egypt, that's our ancestors, the Israelites, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. So the people that came out of Egypt were our people. They had the right hardware, they just didn't have the right software. And our Father in heaven destroyed them. That's about ready to happen again. It's time to thin the herd. And the angelos, or angels, or messengers, who did not stay within their own position of authority. Who's outside their positions of authority today? Public servants, government agents, men and women in uniform. But left their proper dwelling. He has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire. You're living in a cesspool, folks. These serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. His judgments are final. Final. Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams or fabrications of the mind, defile the flesh, reject, it says authority, but it's talking about biblical or righteous authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. Who are what? Men and women who exemplify our Father in heaven. But when the archangel Michael, contending with Diablos, the adversary, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "Yahweh rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain. Ooh, Cain? Mixed race. And abandoned themselves for the sake of gain, to Balaam's error, and perished in Korah's rebellion. What was Balaam's error? Race mixing. Balak and Balaam. He went and got the men of Israel to race mix, and then they lost the war. These are hidden reefs at your love feasts, as they feast with you without fear. Yeah, they're walking amongst you, these zombies who are antichrist. Shepherds feeding themselves, that's today's prostitute preachers. Waterless clouds, swept along by winds. Fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. Wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame. Wandering stars, that's where we get the word planetes. That's right, in English today, planets. Falsehood, wandering stars, wandering from the true path. For whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, Yahweh comes with 10,000s of his holy ones. Remember, this word holy means what? Consecrated, separated. Holy ones means those who have separated themselves away from the riffraff around them. To execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loudmouth boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. That sounds like almost everybody in the corporate world today. Governments, the corporate world, the media, education, medicine, pharmaceutical companies, most corporations. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Yeshua. They said to you, in the last time, or the end of days, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of Yahweh God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Yeshua that leads to eternal life, and have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Yeshua HaMashiach, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. So again, as it says in Malachi chapter 4, also Ezekiel chapter 25 verse 14, the sons of the Most High, when they manifest themselves, when they decide they've had enough of this nonsense that we live in today, and we decide to get back to the true law, the only law that matters, the laws of our Messiah. So everything is quite simplified. People say, well, this is a mess we've got ourselves into. That's because you're trying to fix the mess within the rules created by the people who created the mess. Well, you're never going to be able to fix it. You got to think outside of the box. You have to become disciples of the Most High. We have a king already. We have a form of government already, and it's not the one we have today. Not the one that you suppose. So enough of this constitution this and constitution that. I, for one, don't care what's in the Constitution, whether the state or the federal. That is a contract for the public servants to obey. Not me. Has nothing to do with you and I, unless you work for the state. That's the contract every person who has taken an oath of office, that's the contract that they must learn and abide by. just to hold those positions in the, quote, government to get their, quote, paycheck. Eventually, all of it will be done away with, and everything will be done according to the laws of the Most High. And people say, well, I don't see how that's possible, Dan, because look at this world and how many people operate with all these different systems. Yeah, well, guess what? They're not going to be around much longer. So choose which side of the fence you wish to be on. Do you want to be on the side with the sheep that go with their master and follow the paths of righteousness, or do you want to be on the other side with all the goats? I know you look at these movie stars and these rap artists and these sports figures with their pockets full of electronic Jewish shekels, and you think they're successful. Really? You think they're successful? They've sold their soul to Diablos, the Jewish devil, the greatest adversary of truth and justice this world has ever seen. They've sold their soul to that system. That's the only reason they've got what they've gotten. You wish to be part of that crowd? I like the verse in Scripture where it says that our Father reproves kings and princes. That's government. That's man-made government. He reproves them to touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. The greatest security you can have in this day and age is to be one of his upon yourself, privately, in your quiet, just you and the Father conversing. That's where you go with a contrite heart and you ask via the Holy Spirit for that anointing. And when our Father reaches down and he touches you and anoints you, it's like putting a hot coal on your tongue. There's nothing you can do to stop from living a different life and being a completely different man or woman. It shows to everybody around you. If you haven't reached that point, I would suggest you get there very quickly. Time is running out. And again, this has got nothing to do with any agendas or even any kind of financial gain, because those who preach Yahweh's truth don't receive financial gain. I don't know a single soul who preaches the whole truth of our Father that's getting rich. In fact, most struggle day to day. But that's okay. Sometimes in the struggling, it makes us stronger, doesn't it? I know it has me, because now I've reverted back to my childhood days where, since I was poor and our family was poor on a farm, we had to stretch a dollar. We had to learn how to repurpose things, how to fix old things, because we didn't have money to buy new. And you know what? There was more joy in that than being able to go down and lease a Lexus or live in a great big fancy home. Those things didn't bring joy. But being able to take something old and rusty and paint it and fix it up and make it useful again, that brought joy. Or taking a few dollars and accomplishing a lot with just a few bucks, there was joy. Joy in the fact that Yahweh created you in His image. You don't need to run to the Jew and ask for thousands and tens of thousands of shekels so you can live in his fantasy world. Yahweh's world is very simple and very pure. And we were given the ability to make do with the things of nature around us. That's the beauty of the holistic medicine approach to life and healing. You find out that the things that man out here, typically Jewish, call weeds and want you to put poisons on your yard to kill the, quote, weeds, you find out the weeds are some of the most medicinal plants on earth. Dandelion comes to mind as one of the first, because when I was a boy, Everybody cursed the dandelions when they showed up. Run down to the hardware store and buy the poison to put on your yard. You don't want those darn dandelion there. And then years later, you get into holistic medicine and you find out almost everything on the dandelion plant is medicinal. Our ancestors ate the leaves as part of their salads. Dandelion is not a weed. Unbelievable. In fact, they got us believing that a suburban home with this great big yard that's manicured is the way to go, and yet our ancestors believed, what a waste of space. Why isn't that a great big garden in your backyard? What the hell are you growing grass for? What is that manicured grass doing for you? But the Jew told us, oh, that's what you should aspire to, white man and white woman. Having this half acre and this beautiful big house that you don't even use three quarters of it, and that big yard that doesn't do a damn thing, but you think it looks great. When that could feed a family of probably eight people, and you'd be a hell of a lot healthier and independent, by the way. The beast wants you dependent on it for everything. Yahweh's way is to make you independent, free men and women upon the land. All he asks in return is that you treat the world that he created with honor, with respect, and don't abuse it. Live amongst the creatures and the vegetation, but don't dominate it. Don't destroy it, seeking your man-made world, as Jude called it, the world of your imaginings, created by your electronic toilet devices. Life gets a whole lot simpler and happier when you get right with the Father, folks. And again, don't assume that you have all the time in the world to make that decision. Because all the indicators are making it very clear that time is running out. So think carefully, especially you folks that wear a uniform, you folks who take a paycheck from this beast system. You have a lot to think about. You better think quickly. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We pray that your truths will go around this world, all over this wondrous, wondrous world that you've created, Father Yahweh. If we would just step back and take a look at it as free men and free women who wish to partake in this existence but not dominate it, not destroy it, not to trample it, which is the way of the Antichrist Jew, and many of the people who have adopted the Judaic way of looking at life, which is completely perverted. We pray for the awakening to continue, Father Yahweh. Bless the hearts and souls of all the men and women out there who seek you and seek righteousness in this sick and sad world that we live in. Lift them up. Give them good discernment. Give them the spirit of courage and the warriors. Make them feel that warrior spirit, Father. Let them know that they can slay dragons. And let the women know that you can create the warrior spirit in your men. You have that power, ladies. You have the power to take men and make them basically wimps with your browbeating and nagging and your constant contestation with them. Or you can take and lift them up to be the shining knights that they would rather be, as God intended us to be. Choice is yours. Go the way of the world, or take your men and make them the warriors they were meant to be, the men who will defend you when the time of this upheaval comes. Because I'll guarantee you, these other races and these other people, and particularly the Jew, will abandon you in a second. It's the noble men of our race that will pull this world out of the fire. They are the only ones who were given that holy consecration to fight the good fight and turn this thing around. So, ladies, you have a tough decision, too. Do you support the men? Do you want to make them who Yahweh would have them to be, or do you want to create them in your image, the way the world does? Walk with us in all that we say and do, Father Yahweh, to thy glory and for thy kingdom, and always we ask that you protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name.
Thy kingdom come. Don't wait too long, too late to learn. If you be the fuel, this fire shall burn. You'll be the eagle's prey unless you turn and run. Turn away from the eagle. Turn away. Turn away from this. Lord, I pray you turn away from this power.
almost imperceptible, the way they gain their ground. They'll steal an inch just to take a mile every time you turn around. They assassinate our liberties and cause me sleepless nights. Every time they pass another firearms law, they assault my Bill of Rights. As they plead for public safety and they press on towards their goal, I say the Brady Bill is a stab in the back in the fight for gun control. 'Cause I'm a fight to keep alive freedom in the Bill of Rights, native-born American. Who's gonna rise and take a stand, draw a line in the sand, hold the line till kingdom come. So if they ever try to legislate, send the troops to confiscate before the dirty deed gets done, somebody's blood on down the street might run. If they ever try to come and take my gun, no, they better never try to come and take my gun. They better leave our guns alone. Is it more than just coincidence whenever Congress takes the hill, how the blood just spews from the evening news before they pass another bill? And it's an insult to my senses when I read the New York Times, how the truth gets buried on the very back page, somewhere there between the lines. Well, there's a method to their madness, and the media's their tool. And do they really think that I'm truly that dumb to be played for such a fool? Well, I'm a fight to keep alive freedom in the Bill of Rights, native-born American. Who's gonna rise and take a stand, draw a line in the sand, hold the line till kingdom come. So if they ever try to legislate, send the troops to confiscate before the dirty deed gets done, well, somebody's blood on down the street might run. If they ever try to come and take my gun, no, they better never try to come and take my gun. Just leave our liberty teeth alone. They tell me that I'm paranoid, I see things that aren't there. While they flood the country full of aliens, there's crime and trouble everywhere. They say they have to take my guns away to save me from myself. Am I a threat to national security or their one world commonwealth? Well, here's one thing they don't tell you that they don't want you to know. When a tyrant finally gets a hold of your guns, that's when he takes control. Well, I'ma die to keep alive freedom in the Bill of Rights, native-born American. Who's gonna rise and take a stand, draw a line in the sand, hold the line till kingdom come. So if they ever try to legislate, send the troops to confiscate before the dirty deed gets done, well, somebody's blood on down the street might run. If they ever try to come and take my gun, said they better never try to come and take my gun. They better leave our guns alone, 'cause I've got an inalienable right to defend myself, and it's backed up by the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution. No, they better never try to come and take my gun. They better leave our guns alone. You can't have my gun, but I might share with you a few of my bullets. Yeah, no, they better never ever. No, they better never ever. No, they better never ever try to come and take my gun. Just leave them guns alone.
Hello?
Well, guess who called me the other day?
a TV reporter from down in L.A. He said he heard a song a little while ago on some obscure talk radio show. Then he asked if I was the writer of the music I just mentioned in the lyrics above. But now that I look back at the wisdom I lacked, I probably never should have said too much. And as he pressured me to share with him a word or two, and we carried on our telephonic interview, a wee still voice inside my head was saying, you're gonna be sorry for every word you just said. Then sure enough, right after he was through, he slandered and defamed me on the evening news. I should have listened instead to the voice inside my head, 'cause here's what it said to me. You don't go casting your pearls before swine, 'cause they're only gonna trample them into the muck and grime. And when they're through, they'll turn on you and burn you every time. So don't go casting your pearls before swine. And when I went off to sing a song in Washington, I was hounded by those dirty dogs of CNN, who said they wanted to do a favor for me by giving me a little free publicity. I should have never let them turn their lying cameras on, 'cause when the cutting and the editing was finally done, they put horns on my head by changing everything I said. They made me sound like the devil's own son. So you don't go casting your pearls before swine, 'cause they're only gonna trample them into the muck and grime. And when they're through, they'll turn on you and smear you every time. So don't go casting your pearls before swine. Now there's ABC, and then there's NBC, and CBS, and CNN, the New York Times, the LA Times, and the Washington Post are just a few of the most porkiest people. NBC called to let me know they were gonna use the music on a TV show. They were gonna use the song I wrote about the wrong that happened up in Ruby Ridge, Idaho. But then they got a threatening letter from the ADL that said, you use that kind of music, we'll make your life hell. Then they dropped me off the show, and now I think I know why the music doesn't sell that well. So you don't go casting your pearls before swine, 'cause they're only gonna trample them into the muck and grime. And when they're through, they'll turn on you and rip you every time. So don't go casting your pearls before swine. No, you don't go casting your pearls before swine. I said you don't go casting your pearls to them sanctimonious media boys and girls. You don't go casting your pearls before swine.
Won't you listen to me. I hold out hope to everyone who hears and understands. The word of God can echo in the voice of a man. He's the shadow of a great rock in the dry and weary land. With the names of the ones he loved carved into his hands. I am the prophet and I smolder and burn. I scream and cry and wonder why you never seem to learn. To hear with your own ears, with your own eyes to see. I am the prophet, won't you listen to me? I am the prophet, won't you listen to me? Sorrow in his anger, my eyes weep his tears, his life a light in me. I am the sword that cuts his people apart. I speak the word that comforts their faithless hearts. I am the prophet and I smolder and burn. I scream and cry and wonder why you never see. Won't you listen to me? I am the prophet, won't you listen to me?